Coming to you from the HagmanReport.com studio, located in the Keystone State, birthplace of a mighty nation, it's your host, Doug Hagman.
And welcome to Hagman. This is the Tuesday, October 18th, 2022 edition of the Hagman Report. I'm Doug Hagman. I want to welcome you. Thank you so much. Wow, I'm looking through the preview monitor, and what's up with the lighting? Change some lighting there. That's okay. Eric the Tech, at it again. Not a problem. All right. A lot of stuff to get into. I want to welcome everyone. Thank you so much for your belief and your trust in us, in this platform. Biden, boy, I'll tell you what. You want to talk about some enemies inside the gate, Biden and his handlers. Number one, he's releasing additional strategic oil reserves, taking that down lower. That's a big deal. He also, some people might have missed this, and this to me is extremely important. Biden revokes executive branch rules against spying on American citizens. This is reported by Kyle Becker almost 2 weeks ago now, but it's got really little coverage. I want to get into that. I want to get into the economy and what's taking place there. And folks, we almost had a Patreon meeting this weekend. I was waiting on two additional pieces of information. I'm still waiting on those pieces of information. And it's time sensitive. It's going to be at the right time. So hang on. Even if it's midweek during the week, we could possibly have a very special Patreon meeting. And I'd be looking forward to that. And then we have some CDC news with respect to what they plan for your children. But I want to start out too with a statement that I hear Alex Jones making, I hear Steve Bannon making, I hear other people making, and I'm going to paraphrase this because I think this is so critically important, and I think this explains not just the present, but the immediate future. And here it is. If the situation was hopeless against the globalists, against the globalist agenda, then the propaganda would not be necessary. I want you to think about that. Again, if the situation was hopeless, the propaganda would not be necessary. And we are seeing propaganda come out like crazy. And it really is something to see. And I'm telling you right now, as I'm looking at things take place, I am seeing a very desperate left, a very desperate globalist satanic left. And they will do anything. And I want everyone to be prepared. Seriously, you've got to prepare for what is coming, because for what is coming, I don't think we have seen anything, certainly not in our lifetime, but in recent history, about what they have planned for all of us. And a lot of that is death and destruction. At least that's the most, that's really the most of it. But let's just touch on the economy first, because I don't know about you, but when I go to the grocery store or fill up my gas tank, it hurts. I mean, it really hurts. I've noticed a significant difference. I know you have as well. I know that taxes are going up. I know that rents are going up. Everything is going up. Sizes, selection, that's going down, but things are going up. But yet, believe me, the Bidens believe the economy is good. Now, how popular are Jill and Joe Biden? You know this answer. Look, I know you know this. But let's just take a fun look at this. This was from the weekend. Eric the Tech, this is a video 27 seconds in length. This kind of gives you an idea of the popularity. Now, remember, 81 million votes, more than Obama. Convince your Uncle Eddie. Convince your Uncle Eddie that that's not true, right? Well, maybe you show him this clip. I don't know. Maybe he's a baseball fan. But this happened at a recent Eagles game, or a football fan, or hockey fan, or basketball. It doesn't matter what sport, I guess, or what event. It doesn't matter. What's that? It was Sunday night. Football or baseball? I knew that. This is at an Eagles game, of course, in Pennsylvania. Joe Biden gets the F Joe Biden treatment, if you will, with a chorus. Oh, what was it? Just a standing ovation? No, a chorus of boos at an Eagles game on Sunday night. Here it is. Watch this. Now, okay, the reason I played this, and I'm sure you've seen this, but the reason I played this is the emperor has no clothes. How? What I want to know, when Joe Biden or his handlers specifically, when they go out or send them out into a public venue, and this happens, my question to you, what are they thinking? Now, with less than a month to go, weeks away from the midterms, here's another question for you. Why are they walking around somewhat sure? Now, you've got to take a look at this kind of in a broad spectrum. Why are they so sure that they're going to win or they're going to maintain leadership in the House and Senate? Or perhaps win the Senate, maintain leadership in the House. Doesn't that make you think? And again, I'm asking this. Now, you may say, no, that's not what I'm seeing. I'm not seeing that at all. I'm seeing where they're desperate, they're afraid that they're going to lose, and they're acting accordingly. Both statements, in a sense, can't be true, right? Or can they? I'm going to ask you that. Can both statements be true? I think they can. Well, it depends on the perspective of the individual or individuals or groups looking at the situation. Personally, I think they are desperate. Personally, I think that they will do anything and everything that they possibly can to maintain their power. And this is when you get to this level, folks, I believe, again, this is what I believe personally, they are extremely dangerous. I signed up and I'm going to be volunteering for some surveillance of drop boxes. Yes, I am. And some other things on election day this year. Running up to and then on election day, as my schedule and other factors permit. And if I can't make it, I'm sending Eric the tech out to do it. First, you heard about that, right? Eric, the tech's over there. He's like, oh, I don't know about that. All right. So, but a lot of what we're seeing, a lot of the dissatisfaction is obviously mistrust of government. But the biggest source of dissatisfaction in the United States right now, based on polling, is the economy. Of all things, it's the economy. Okay, let's go with that for a moment. Video 2, which is 41 seconds long, it's a little difficult to hear because of the background noise, but go ahead and pay attention if you don't mind, to the best you can. And listen to what, and you've seen this clip too, I'm pretty sure. If not, you're in for a treat. Maybe a cookie dough treat. I'm not sure. I'm not exactly sure what ice cream he was eating, but it was two scoops of something. No, not peach mint. I'm kidding, of course, but that probably will never happen. But watch this. This is Joe Biden explaining to you and I that we can't trust our eyes. That everything is fine. Nothing. I mean, everything's. We have a strong economy. That things are going well. You talk about the ultimate gaslighting, or attempting to gaslight the American public. This is it. Here's Joe Biden as he munches on his favorite noontime pre-nap snack. Here it is.
Are you concerned about, just one more economic one, are you concerned about the strength of the dollar right now?
I'm not concerned about the strength of the dollar. I'm concerned about the rest of the world. Does that make sense?
Can you explain that?
Yes. Our economy is strong as hell. In the internal world. Inflation is worldwide. Worse off everywhere else than it is in the United States. So the problem is the lack of economic growth and sound policy in other countries, not so much ours. And that's how it's worldwide inflation. It's consequential.
Worldwide inflation. It's really not the United States or our fault. That here at home, domestically, that there's inflation. No. This is global inflation. Now, he's not wrong there. And I'll explain momentarily here. But what this is all about is the takedown, is the ultimate collapse of our economic system. That's what this is all about. This is a deliberate destruction, number one, of the U.S. dollar, and number two, of the global economy. And oh, by the way, anyone who believes that the supply chains will become repaired, will be repaired, and will happen again. No, they're incorrect. And to that extent, I believe globalism, you ready for this? Globalism is dead. Now, wait a second. Economic globalism. The supply chains are dead. Maybe that's better. I didn't want people jumping out of their chairs, or if you're driving, you head to a bridge abutment. No, I didn't want that. So, the fact of the matter is, here's a guy eating a sugar cone, ice cream cone, saying, well, you know what? It's just not because of the United States. It's the world. Okay, if that is the case, if you've got all of the industrialized countries in the world suffering from some sort of inflation or economic Armageddon, as he had called it once, then it's deliberate. It has to be deliberate. And that's what we're facing. What they, and by they, I mean the royal families, the globalists, the people who run things, what they're doing is that they are prepared. 2022 is the year that they're burning everything down. Well, we only have a month and a half left of 2022. Well, you haven't seen anything yet. They want to burn the structure to the ground. The fight is going to be in 2023, the real fight. What replaces what happened in 2022? And even a little bit before, what will replace the system that is being burnt to the ground? I can tell you this. I don't believe, and I'm with Aaron Brickman on this as well, who appeared with a health ranger, Mike Adams. I'm not sure if you saw that last Sunday. I forgot to mention that yesterday. Of course, yesterday was a special program, but at any rate, he appeared with Mike Adams. But like him, I don't feel that we are going to see a global digital currency or even a national digital currency that will be widely accepted immediately for a lot of reasons. I mean, can you imagine, first of all, can you imagine somebody like me trying to adjust to that? No, that's not going to happen. Or anyone that is used to paper, pen and paper. All right. Computers are not my friend. All right. So at any rate, so there's that. And then, of course, there would be the kickback, the pushback by the money launderers, the people pushing that themselves. They don't want this surveillance, or they don't want to be held accountable for some sort of a digital currency, but I digress. But 89% of the American population over the age of 18 believe, 89% now, this is the latest poll, believe that the economy sucks. How's that? Simple statement, the economy sucks. All right. There's that. I want to get into as well. Oh, hang on a second. Hold on a second here, because, oh, we got some stuff here going on. I got, man, you should see this. I got some stuff. All right. All right. Joe Biden. Here's a report right here. Joe Biden to announce the release of 10 to 15 million more barrels from emergency oil reserves before the midterm elections. Check this out. This appeared in Breitbart today. This, again, here we have Joe Biden taking 15 million more barrels. You know, if it's 10 to 15, it's 15 from emergency oil reserves before the midterm elections. And Eric Tech, thank you so very much for the implementation of the document camera. That's right. Check that out, folks. Isn't that really neat? The doc cam. All right. So according to this article, and I'll just point this out to you, Biden plans to release even more barrels of oil from the federal government's strategic reserves right here to keep gas prices low before the midterm elections. Now, Bloomberg reported that Biden administration plans to release another, I'll say 15 million. That's right there, 15 million barrels of oil. Biden's decision marks more than, now listen to this and check this out right there. More than 200 million barrels set for release in less than 2 years as the potato in chief at the Oval Office. 200 million barrels have been drained from the Strategic Oil Reserve. Now, to me, this, when you look at this number, I mean, that's an absolutely incredible number, 200 million. That, to me, represents what? A security threat. And notice this statement right here. The oil reserves are currently at the lowest level since 1984. Now, this, why is he doing this? Well, I would argue for a couple of different reasons. The most obvious, it's to bring down the cost of domestic cost of gasoline. Despite Biden's historic oil releases to bring down the cost of gasoline, the OPEC Plus nations announced their decision in October to cut oil production. Here it is right there, to cut oil production by 2 million barrels a day. Who does that benefit? Does that benefit the United States? No, it doesn't. Who does that benefit if you cut production? It cuts the energy independent nations, or the non-dependent energy nations like America was prior to Biden coming into office. And I'm talking about Obama, Obama's people, the communist, Muslim, demonic individuals who are now in charge. Gas prices hit a record high in Los Angeles County of $6.46 per gallon Monday morning. $6.46 per gallon Monday morning. There's another clip of him leaving the ice cream store saying, well, it's always been that way. It's always been that way. No, it hasn't. No, it has not. What he meant, I suspect what he meant, was gas has always been more expensive in California. And I would argue perhaps he's not wrong necessarily because of the taxes and what have you, but that's not what he said. He recently campaigned in California where gas prices are nearly $7 a gallon. When asked about prices approaching $7 a gallon in the state, well, that's always been the case here. As I mentioned earlier. But now, despite the fact that the gas prices are rising again, Biden continues taking credit for gas prices declining from record highs this summer. A lot of this is the result of getting the cost of living at the gas pump down by more, now, even in California now, by more than a dollar nationally. He said that during a speech to Americans. Yeah, there you go. There you go. I can't make this up. You can't make this up. I mean, here we have the fact that he is taking down our reserves. What happens if he's cut off the fracking? He's cut off the pipelines. He's cut off any incentive for future drilling. What he expects, that we can just, everyone can go buy an electric vehicle. They're going to work like a charm. We can plug them in, or at least have one hell of a long extension cord. No. Why? I'm going to tell you why. And it's this article right here. The U.S. Embassy says climate change exacerbates the food crisis. Climate change is not exacerbating the food crisis. There is a food crisis. There's going to be famine. But it's not because of climate change. It's because of policies like this. Like, let's try to pretend we don't need oil. We don't need gas. What this article states, this is by Thomas D. Williams, dated today. What this states is the U.S. mission in Italy has asserted that global conflicts, climate change, and supply disruptions from, that's right, COVID-19, have exacerbated the world food crisis. Just briefly here, in an article this week evaluating the impact of climate change on today's food crisis, U.S. mission declares that rising global temperatures, oh, here it is, rising global temperatures and sea levels are causing more heat waves, droughts, floods, cyclones, and wildfires, which makes it difficult for farmers to grow food. No, it's not, you know what? Oh, it's not the lack of fertilizer by policy decisions. No, it's not that. It's not the fact that the government's paying farmers not to grow certain foods. It's not that. It's not the use of corn for ethanol. It's not that. No, it's these here it is right here. Scientific studies that extreme weather events will likely become more frequent, more intense due to human-induced climate change. Bullpucky. Yeah. No. I won't get into this any further, but I want you to know that the meme gaslighting about the climate crisis is in full effect right now. Full effect. This is what we're seeing. The 2023 is going to, whatever is going to be built back. Well, we have to have a sustainable type of environment. We have to make sure our environment is not affected by, impacted by anything. Watch this. This is, if you don't agree that man causes climate change, we have a place for you. It's the Gulag Archipelago. I don't know who said that. It wasn't, or it's the Gulags. my gosh, I apologize. Gulag Archipelago is Alexander Solzhenitsyn, but there's a playoff of that, and I thought I made that, but I didn't. But the fact is, the Gulags here in America, that's the place where you're going to be. All right. Some news on the front, the lawfare front. This is troubling to me, and I really want to touch on this right now, because what we're seeing here is an out of control Department of Justice, which is going to lead to this new, not new, old, but new to us, surveillance initiative here in the States and all across the West. But this Friday, Steve Bannon is going to be sentenced for contempt of Congress. You heard me right. No, I didn't say Eric Holder for contempt of Congress. Or the other 15 plus individuals who were held. No. It's Steve Bannon by a weaponized Department of Justice system, by a weaponized judicial system. It's Steve Bannon who's going to be sentenced this Friday. They're looking at 6 months in prison. He's looking at 6 months in prison plus tens of thousands of dollars in fines. Here's Jack Posobiec, video 3 in the, this will be in the program description box only at HagmanReport.com. Watch Jack. This is about 3 minutes in length, but every word is extremely important. Here it is.
They're coming for Steve Bannon. Now, Steve was found guilty on 2 counts in July, contempt of Congress. DC jury found him guilty for refusing the subpoena from the unconstitutional January 6th committee. I was in the courtroom for a large amount of that trial. And it was a joke. It was really a joke. I mean, you had juror after juror saying they knew exactly who Steve Bannon was. They certainly knew who Trump was. And they had no positive view of them whatsoever. And so the question becomes for all of us. What is justice served here? By having a sham committee issuing these subpoenas and then having a sham trial with a jury where the verdict is already known. You're already aware of what the jury is going to be. It's a show trial. So they put Steve on show trial, and guess what? Got found guilty. Why? Because you always get found guilty at the end of the show trial. That's the whole point of the show trial, to make it look like the regime isn't the one doing it, but they always are. And now we have confirmation that indeed this is being done as a punishment to shut up and silence Stephen K. Bannon. And here we are looking October 21st, which will be just a few weeks before the midterm elections. That's why they want to shut him up, and that's why they want to shut him up now. Biden's Department of Justice has just put forward a 6-month recommended sentence for Steve Bannon. the host of the War Room, the chairman of the Trump campaign from 2016, the chief strategist for the Trump White House, one of the top advisors to the president of the United States, 45th president, and they want to put him in jail for 6 months for refusing to cooperate with their, what they claim is refusing to cooperate. Now, keep in mind, he said from the start that he would cooperate if they waived executive privilege. But of course, that didn't happen until the very end, but they didn't care. They didn't care. So he's got appeals. He's got a lot coming out. But I want you to look at this and I want you to understand where we are. Know what time it is. They're taking him, one of the most effective speakers, leaders, motivators, and activists, yes, activists and strategists in the United States, the War Room posse, the head of the War Room posse. And they want to take him down. Of course they want to take him down. To them, people like President Trump, people like Steve Bannon are the most dangerous men in the country. That's why they want to take them down. You saw the $965 million lawsuit settlement, well, not settlement, order last week. Now you're seeing 6 months in jail. Now, that's not the final sentence yet. We don't know. That's going to come out on Friday. And I guarantee you that we will cover it here in full. If Steve wants me over on War Room, we'll cover it in full there as well. But we must look at this clearly, and we must face the reality that the United States of America has become occupied. We've become occupied by a regime.
And there it is. We have become occupied. I've often said, I still say, America is a captured operation. Let me say that again. America is a captured operation. Before I go any further here, I want to thank you again for your support. Thank you so much for everything that you do for this platform, for your posting this on various social networks, from Getter to Parler to Gab to, thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Truth Social. Appreciate that. I want to thank you for your support, because without your support, we would not be on the air. We would not be making improvements, but not even beyond that. We would not be able to work in the field as we do, have teams in the field, which we do. Like yesterday, you heard yesterday, fighting human trafficking. That's a big deal. It's a huge deal, because children, in the blood of the innocent, that's the currency of the globalists, and that's ramping up. But I want to thank you all for everything that you do. And I want to thank our corporate sponsors as well, especially and including Lightstream.com/Hagman. Lightstream.com/Hagman. I'm going to tell you what, if you are loaded with credit card debt, there are hidden costs, folks. You know this. Carrying a balance on your credit card, especially if those credit cards have high interest rates, and they all do, it seems, you are accumulating interest, which is using up your available credit, which is lowering your credit score, which is, you're spending money needlessly. My wife's niece was in this position. We sent her to lightstream.com/Hagman. And she's saving hundreds of dollars per month as we speak. We've taken advantage of this. You can take advantage of this. If high interest rates are making it hard to make a dent in your credit card debt, it is time right now to rethink your options. This is option one, lightstream.com/Hagman. I feel very strongly about this because I don't like paying interest. I don't like paying interest. Folks, a credit card consolidation from Lightstream can help you pay off your credit cards and lock in a low fixed interest rate. Rates start at 5.73% APR with auto pay and excellent credit. The rate's fixed, so it's not going to go up over the life of the loan. And if you're looking at how much? Well, boy, I got a lot of credit card debt. They got you covered. You can get a loan from $5,000 to $100,000, and there are absolutely no fees. You know, LightStream believes that people with good credit deserve a better loan experience, and that's exactly what they deliver. Here's what you have to do, just for my listeners, just for my viewers. Apply now to get a special interest rate discount and save even more. You heard me right. You can save even more. The only way to get this discount is to go to lightstream.com/Hagman. Remember, there are two N's on Hagman, H-A-G-M-A-N-N. I'm going to spell this out for you. It's LightStream.com/Hagman. lightstream.com/Hagman. Subject to credit approval. Rates range from 5.73% APR to 19.99% APR and include a 0.50% autopay discount. Lowest rate requires excellent credit. Terms and conditions apply, and offers are subject to change without notice. Visit lightstream.com/Hagman for more information. You will thank me later. I guarantee you will thank me later. But this, what they're doing to Bannon is what they are essentially going to be doing to all of us. Remember what Steve Quayle said, identify, vilify, nullify, destroy. Essentially lock us up. They want to kill us. They want to take our stuff. They want to end the story. That's what they want to do. That's what these demonic morons want to do. You know, you got Steve Bannon facing 6 months and tens of thousands of dollars of fines. Yet Hillary Clinton's IT director, Brian Pagliano, contempt of Congress, September 13th, 2016, House Committee on Oversight and Government Reform. The House committee voted 19 to 15 to recommend Pagliano for a contempt resolution for failing to appear during a September 13th and 22nd, 2016 hearing after being subpoenaed and submitting a written Fifth Amendment plea in lieu of appearing in person. Now, to be fair, a contempt resolution was not considered, but the fact is there's different levels of treatment here. How about Henry Kissinger? Henry Kissinger from 1975, November 15th, 1975, the subcommittee, House Select Committee on Intelligence. Well, he was threatened. I mean, there are many, many, many people who have, not many, many people, but a sufficient amount who have faced this and not have had the treatment that Bannon has had. It's incredible. And here's the other half of this, or the other part of this. I want to play this. This is out of order. This is video four. This is Peter Strzok, and I'm going to get into something else here, or get into the continuation of what's going on here. This will display without fail the weaponization of the Department of Justice. It'll display what's really taking place here, the undergirding of everything. This is Peter Strzok, who appeared on MSNBC or PMN MSNBC. This is Strzok uttering some incredulous words, such as, what concerns me is there might be FBI agents whose political opinions lead them to think 1-6 was just a riot that got out of control. I mean, here is a guy, Peter Strzok, Lisa Page. I mean, you talk about being biased. Here's a guy who leads. I mean, here's a guy. When you look up bias in the dictionary, Peter Strzok's name is beside it, in my humble opinion. But let's play clip number four, And this is from MSNBC. Here it is.
Overwhelming majority of FBI employees, agents, analysts, professional staff have political opinions, and every single day they come in, they put those aside, and they honor their oath to the Constitution. The fact is, I think you do have a small number, and I was going to say this initial email that was published was in the days and weeks following the insurrection, and some people not in D.C. might just simply watching that footage say, oh, well, this was a riot that got out of control. What concerns me is what you reported, that even now, recently, that there might be anybody who would think that this was just some sort of riot that got out of control, that isn't aware of these multiple complex conspiracies that were going on weeks and months prior to the insurrection, that there weren't these fake slates of electors that were being ginned up and planned months before January 6th. That, to me, points to a leadership failure. You have got to have some ability to tell the workforce, to educate the workforce in unequivocal terms about what's going on. Now, we don't know what's going on inside the hallways of the FBI. I suspect all employee emails, we'd hear something, you know, whether us on the panel or whether leaks to the media, people would say something about it. What concerns me is the only thing I've heard talking about political opinions recently is some people on the right getting Director Wray to say some poor agent who liked on Twitter a Washington Post editorial about Bill Barr, that Wray admits that he finds that concerning. And I would say, you know, I agree with Andrew about the attorney general and the deputy attorney general being involved. But I also think internal change is hard. And that's why we have things like inspectors general. That's why we have things like congressional oversight. I have yet to see, and I assume that the inspector general is doing some sort of look at the FBI's response to January 6th. But when I look back at the appearances that senior FBI officials have had, I've been stunned, frankly, at the lack of really piercing, substantive, hard questions about what the FBI did or didn't do. And to Frank's point, that's not only important because what happened, we've had midterm elections with a whole host of election deniers on the ballot coming up in a month and a half. In 2 years after that, we've got another presidential election where an entire party is basing their platform on denying any result other than Donald Trump or the Republican nominee getting elected. This is a problem going forward, and we've got to get our hands around it.
I don't even know what to say after that. I just don't. Okay, here is Peter Strzok. Let me see if I have his... Hang on a second. I've got it here. Again, this all ties together. Peter Strzok, disgraced former FBI official, declares 9/11 is nothing compared to January 6th. Here's the article right here. This is authored by Steve Watson via Summit News. Now, this is, he writes in an insane segment on MSNBC Sunday, this disgraced moron, I'm paraphrasing, obviously, he didn't write that, this rabid anti-Trump lunatic, he wrote that, Peter Strzok, described the September 11, 2001 terror attacks, which killed thousands of Americans, as nothing compared to what happened on January 6, 2021. But in that clip that you saw, okay, now let me show you this. In that clip that you saw, he was talking about the biased nature that, of course, no FBI agents are biased. Not at the top, not at the bottom, no. Here's a transcript that I just happened to pull out. Highlights from a transcript I happened to pull out from my records. March 3rd, 2016. God, Trump is a loathsome human. That's written by Lisa Page, Department of Justice. Department of Justice, about a presidential candidate. It's not like you can have your own opinions about people, but to actually text this to an FBI agent. Whereas Strzok replied, OMG, Trump's an idiot. Page, of course, responds, how awful. Hillary should win 1-0. Strzok in response to that. Now, you've all seen this. You've all heard this, right? But think about this. I'm not going to get into this article because it's, you know this. But what I am going to get into relates to Bannon. It relates to what I said earlier. But it's also something that perhaps you haven't seen, at least not to the extent that you should. And that's this article right here. President Biden revokes, revokes executive branch rules against spying on American citizens. Now, this is extremely important for people to understand, because what's going to happen is this will open the floodgates for the FBI, for various other law enforcement agencies, including the IRS, to come after you. This appeared, this was written in, this is Trending Politics. It was written on, I believe it was the 7th day, 11 days ago, October 7th of right, October 7th, 11 days ago. And here's what the article gets into. The White House has issued an executive order that removes the safeguards against spying on American citizens without a warrant. The executive order of that day of October 7th, 2022, enhancing safeguards for United States Signals Intelligence Activities, SIGINT, by the way, establishes enhanced safeguards for U.S. signals intelligence activities that supersede the safeguards for personal information collected through signals intelligence established by Presidential Policy Directive 28 of January 17th, 2014, which is PPD-28. This, according to the executive order. Now, again, this is extremely important. The executive order establishes enhanced safeguards. And this is what was revoked. This part right here was revoked. The executive order from PPD 28, Presidential Policy Directive 28 of January 17th, 2014, states that enhanced safeguards in recognition that signals intelligence activities must be conducted in the manner that takes into account that all persons should be treated with dignity and respect. When's that happened? Recently. Okay, regardless of their nationality or wherever they might reside, all persons have legitimate privacy interests. See that? In handling their personal information. So it's essential to maintain that the policy process refined by Section 3 of PPD 28 and supplemented by the classified annex to that same order right here, under which national security policymakers consider carefully the value of signals intelligence to our national interests and risks entailed in conducting those activities. What they're saying is, look, You got to weigh, you have to use common sense. You've got to weigh the threat versus the liberty. The liberties granted to us by our Constitution. Well, Biden just said, screw this. Nah, I don't think so. Well, Biden didn't say anything. His handlers took care of it. So what he did was he revoked these sections right here. Let me see if you can see this. Section 1, revocation. The whole thing is revoked except for sections 3 and 6 of that directive and the classified annex to that directive, which remain in effect. Section 2, general provisions. Nothing in this memorandum shall be, well, rather than get into this, what they're, let me get into the meat of this. Rather than read off a bunch of stuff. This part right here, the following is the text of that PPD that are being revoked as was issued under Obama. How bad do you have to get, by the way, just asking the question, how bad do you have to get to have a privacy memorandum revoked. Privacy memorandum crafted by Obama revoked. How bad does that have to be? So, Section 1, principles governing this collection of signals intelligence. This gone signature, use of a pen, it's gone. All of this is gone. Executive order, statute, proclamation, or other directive, presidential directive, and undertaken in accordance with the Constitution, right there, gone, gone, Constitution, gone, and of course, other applicable statutes and such. But this is gone. Goodbye. Privacy and civil liberties shall be integral considerations in the planning of U.S. surveillance. Privacy, gone. Civil liberties, gone. Isn't that neat how I could use a pen and just wipe that right out? What this is saying, folks, and I'm not going to go through all of this, what this is saying is we can spy on you. It doesn't matter what we don't know exactly what crime you've committed, but we're sure of one thing. You're guilty of something, and we're going to find out exactly what you're guilty of. And then we are going to use that information against you. Again, I'm not going to go through all of this. You can, the link will be at the at HagmanReport.com in the program description box. I did have one thing in here that did jump out at me. Let me just see here. I don't think this is 14 pages in length. Oh, yes. The dissemination of information, personal information, shall be disseminated only if the dissemination of comparable information concerning U.S. persons would be permitted. Gone. Share it with anyone who we damn well please. Communist Chinese Party, why not? Oh, retention? You know, look, we really shouldn't retain all that information for all that long unless we've got a specific purpose. And this is based on this executive order. Gone. Do I need to go on? Our privacy is gone. Our privacy is gone. Oh, this privacy and civil liberties policy. Yeah, I don't like that too much. Gone. As Will Chamberlain, senior counsel at the Internet Accountability Project and Article 3 Project, put it on Twitter. Holy cow, what a Friday news dump. Joe Biden just rescinded executive branch rules that prevent spying on American citizens. Yeah, maybe that's the understatement of the year. Gone and gone. So what does this have to do with anything? This is the tool. This right here. This legalizes the surveillance of everyone by these numbnuts, people like Strzok and Page and everyone else. Not anymore. He's just a common potato, common commentator. And Christopher Wray and his people, to make sure you comply with things like, oh, I don't know, how about climate change? So we can do what? We can force, I have it here somewhere, a digital ID just for you to make sure that we know where you're at. It's kind of like wearing an ankle bracelet all of the time. By the way, this is something I want to just point out real quick. The medical student / college luminary George Floyd, his autopsy report. Have you seen this? Have you seen it? No. You can download a copy of George Floyd's autopsy report for yourself. I know John Moore and I spoke about this many, many times. And if in case you haven't seen it, this is signed by the Hennepin County Medical Examiner's autopsy or medical examiner. George Floyd, also known as Floyd Perry. Make sure you get that right. Final diagnosis. Yeah, he died while in custody. He couldn't be resuscitated. But here's the issue. Do you know how much fentanyl it takes to kill a person? Oh, not that much. 3 grains can take you out. 3 grains. Blood and drug. I don't know if you can see this. Screens. Blood, drug, and psychoactive substance screens. Fentanyl, 11 nanograms per milliliter. This is from his blood. Norfentanyl, 5.6 nanograms per milliliter. And methamphetamine, 19, count them, 19 nanograms per milliliter. And it goes on and on and on. This is what killed him. Not the blunt force injuries, the cutaneous blunt force injuries of the forehead, face, and upper lip. Look, you get those all the time from falling down. I mean, you can. And there's some other injuries, all non-life-threatening. Certainly all you can recover from all of these. There's four different injuries. Potentially, allegedly, ostensibly caused by police. But hey, wait a second. By the way, here's the entire talk screen report. I'll just show you that. Hold on. It's very detailed, by the way. He was wearing size XXL. Nike brand blue track pants. Hang on a second here. I'll show you the standalone talks report. You got to see this because it's an education. So what you need to do, folks, is to print this out. Here it is right here. Is to print this out and give it to your neighbor, your friend, your boss, your family member who said, hey, you know what? The cops killed George Floyd. No, they didn't. He was a walking dead man. Show him this. Show him. You can even just show him the tox report. One last thing. More information is coming out about COVID. This breaking, I'm going to get into a little bit more detail on this tomorrow. Boston University creates a new COVID strain that has an 80% kill rate, echoing dangerous experiments feared to have started pandemic. Folks, I know a gentleman, a couple of gentlemen involved, not in this, but involved in that area I'll be talking with tonight. Researchers added Omicron spike protein to the original Wuhan COVID strain. Omicron's spike is highly mutated, which made it the most infectious variant ever. 8 in 10 mice, count them, 8 in 10, 80% infected with a lab-created strain, died. That's right. Thank you, Boston U, and the people out there who are involved in making these more deadly. Have a good night, everyone.